You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The European Football Podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill European Football Podcast as we preview another three games from across the continent this weekend. We go to Spain, we go to Italy and we go to France on this edition of the podcast as the European football scene begins to wind down for the season. Sam Norris here in the presenter's chair this week, and joining me on the line rather than in the studio is Alex Dunn. How are you, Alex?
This is a treat for you, isn't it?
It really is, yeah. I don't have to look at your stupid face.
Oh, that's not very nice, is it?
I'm only joking.
I don't actually live that far from the studio, but as you can hear, I'm a bit snotty today, so I thought it best not to come in and pollute your air. But yeah, I'm looking forward to, well, we're past the key stage of the season, if you like. It's merely a case of dotting the I's and crossing the T's for quite a few sides, but they've still got to do it, and I'm not so sure all of them are going to get over the line looking sprightly, shall we say. There may be a few limping over the line at the end of the season, and as always we see at the end of the season, there are some sides that you just don't want to back at the price that they are.
Yeah.
Hopefully we can exploit that a little bit on today's podcast.
Yeah, hopefully so, and we've got the opportunity to look at three teams who we had a good look at midweek as well in the Champions League in the shape of Real Madrid, Juventus and Monaco. All three of those get the preview treatment this week. Any particular standouts from the Champions League semi-finals for you, Alex?
In defeat, Monaco, I suppose, but less so in their performance against Juve, more just in how they've been all season,
yeah.
Really. The amount of times that we've spoken about them, they're just a completely different side to what they were 2 or 3 years ago. They've had a complete transformation. It's fantastic to see. They're just so gung-ho.
Mm.
They are fun to watch. And there's not many sides in the French League that are,
yeah.
With all due respect.
Yeah.
And obviously, I think the right two sides are in the Champions League final. I was surprised that Atleti even managed to muster half a chance, if that
yeah.
makes sense.
Yeah, I was.
I thought that was a dead rubber, basically.
Mm.
And then all of a sudden it's like, hang on. It would have been nice if they could have had a real go. Not that they didn't, but you know what I mean? Just
yeah,
if they could have really pushed Real close.
As soon as the Isco goal went in, that was
pretty much game
lights
over,
out,
yeah.
Really, wasn't it, for Atleti?
Well, when you factor in the fact that Atleti win most games 1-0 anyway,
yeah.
it was never going to bode particularly well, but I'd say the right two sides are in the final, and that's going to be an absolute humdinger in Cardiff, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. It should be an exciting Champions League final. Real Madrid versus Juventus, of course, and we begin this week's previews with a look at Real Madrid, who are in action on Sunday at 7 p.m. against Sevilla at the Bernabeu. Real Madrid are 1-5, draw is 6-1, and Sevilla in the betting at 10-1 for this fixture. Of course, Real will have one eye on retaining the Champions League and being the first team to do so, but La Liga is still up for grabs. Real are locked on 84 points with Barcelona, with an inferior goal difference, but they do have a game in hand, and with just three games to go for them and two games to go for Sevilla just need to get over the line in terms of a Champions League spot for next year. They only need one more point from their remaining couple of games to be clear of Villarreal. So it's a game that probably has more riding on it for Madrid, given that Sevilla might not target this game specifically to pick up the one more point that is required. They might be almost, I don't want to say happy to lose this one, but they might think that they've got a better chance perhaps of picking up that crucial point against Osasuna next week, perhaps.
Yeah, basically. And every game that Real have now, between now and the end of the season, is so huge,
yeah.
For them, because let's face it, this title looked completely and utterly wrapped up a couple of months ago.
Mm.
Barcelona was stumbling and Real were pretty dominant, to be honest. And they haven't done masses wrong, Real. Obviously, the defeat in El Clasico was, at the time, you thought, okay, gives Barca a squeak.
Yeah.
But since then, Barca have been pretty much perfect. I mean, you look at the Barca's results since then. Beat Osasuna 7-1, 3-0 away at Espanyol, and then 4-1 at home to Villarreal. Real have done very little wrong. They recovered from the loss in El Clasico by going to Deportivo and winning 6-2, and then followed that up with a 2-1 win against Valencia, and then beating Tony Adams, etc., By the way, Osasuna played Granada this week. They may as well just say, look, should we just not bother? Can we just agree to just ball this game off? Because they're both absolutely woeful. But anyway, that's by the by. So, yeah, massive game for Real. Do I really want to back Real at 1-5 here? Well, Sevilla are, at the risk of sounding painfully obvious, are very good. They sit in fourth, as you said. They just need a point. They will get in the Champions League next year. But as you said, they're not going to be focusing on this game as a, oh, God, we need a point here.
Yeah.
They'll get their point next week. And that's even if Villarreal can win both games.
Yeah, of course.
So, in terms of that, I mean, Sevilla were pushing for the title for a lot of the season. I say pushing, just on the heels. But then they had a bad sort of spell through sort of the end of March and... They're not finishing the season well. Their away form is something that we highlighted last year on the European Football Podcast so many times because they were dire on the road. Did not win a single away game last season in La Liga. This season, their away form on the whole has been pretty good. But you do have to go back to the end of February now for their last away win in the league. And yes, they've been to some tricky places in that time, the likes of Atleti, Barca. They drew at Valencia, they lost at Malaga, they drew at Alaves. It's not massively encouraging. Basically, I'm just trying to make any case I can for Sevilla. Ultimately, I think Real Madrid do win this. Do I want to back them at 1-5? No. And if I was having an accumulator, I wouldn't be putting them in at that kind of price.
Yeah.
But there is value to be found. And one of the enhanced odds is very interesting. It's Ronaldo to score and Real to win 2-1, 3-1 or 4-1. We know that Real, defensively, can chuck in the odd clanger. And it's pretty rare that they win to nil, if we're being completely honest. Now, if you're assuming that Sevilla are good for a goal at some point in the match, firstly, Real are both teams to score 17-20, if you want to push that 1-5 out. But to take Ronaldo to score, and basically what you're backing there is Ronaldo to score, Real to win, and both teams to score.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. I'm saying that with the 2-1, 3-1 or 4-1, Real aren't going to put 5 or 6 past Sevilla. That's 6-1 pushed out from 5, Sam, and I really don't mind that. That'd probably be the way that I'd go in terms of an outright pick here, because even if you do think Real can score a few and you want to back them on a handicap, Real minus 1 is 2-5. That is so, so short.
Yeah.
And minus 2 is just bigger than even money. So it is quite hard to find some value here. I said that there are some short price sides that you want to take on. It's not that I don't want to take Real on. It's more just that their price isn't that appealing. So if you are looking for some value, I would go with that enhanced odds offer. But I mean, even on the Anytime Goalscorers page, you're trying to find something that can just get a bit of value for you. I mean, Isco, say, he's 10-11 anytime. That's so, so short. Sergio Ramos is 5-2 anytime. There's just no value to be found for me whatsoever. So we'll stick with that enhanced odds offer. It's going to go down to the wire in La Liga. It's going to be very, very interesting. Barca travel to Las Palmas. That's not an easy game, even though Las Palmas have not had a fantastic end to the season by any means. They've got nothing to play for, but that still won't be easy. But I think this will go all the way to the wire.
Okay. Real Madrid versus Sevilla. Then the selection for Alex is that enhanced odds, Cristiano Ronaldo to score and Real Madrid to win the match 2-1, 3-1 or 4-1. It was 5-1. We've pushed it out to 6-1 for that match in La Liga on Sunday. As we go over to Italy now for Roma versus Juventus. This is first versus second in the league. 6-4 about Roma, 23-10 for the draw, and Juve are in the betting at 9-5. The title is almost secured for Juventus, but Roma have got plenty to play for here, given that they're just a point clear of Napoli in third place. And if you finish second, of course, in Serie A, you don't have to go through a Champions League qualifying game, which neither of these two sides will particularly want to do. And given that the time to catch Juve is generally away from home, and perhaps Roma need the points more than Juventus, can you make a case for the home side here, Alex?
Yes, very much so. And I've been Juve's biggest fan throughout the season. And
yeah.
Roma will be cursing their luck. Well, not luck, but that they lost the Rome derby to Lazio a couple of weeks ago. Because had they won that, there'd be real pressure on Juve here.
Yeah.
Juve are one of the sides, as I said, are almost stumbling over the line. And you might look at the results and go, oh, come on. They drew away at Atlanta, who were fifth. And then they drew in a local derby at home to Torino, who were ninth. It's not the end of the world. It isn't. I'm not going to sensationalise it, but it's not up to the standards that we've come to expect from Juventus when you factor in that prior to that, they'd won 27 of 33 league games so far this season. So two draws is in their own special way almost a mini crisis for Juve. It'd be lovely to have that kind of crisis, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
But if Roma win this, they go 4 points behind Juve with two games to play. Look, I'm not going to make a case for Roma to win the league, but Juve are one of the sides that are falling over the line. So Roma at 6-4, firstly, I'm going to side with, which, again, sort of goes against everything. In my opinion, Juve are far and away the best side in that league.
Yeah.
By a distance. They are always in my accas. They are often quite fairly priced as well, when you factor in that Real and Barca will be 10s on, 14s on sometimes for some games.
Yeah.
Juve, you're not going to see them quite at that price. That you can often find a little bit of value. But if you go back to last week's podcast, we talked about AC Milan against Roma. And I sided with AC. And they got absolutely battered. Roma were fantastic. They won 4-1 at the San Siro. And basically just killed the game off early doors. A brace from Edin Dzeko in the first half hour. And then that was it, really. Game over. And as I said, Juve at the same time were labouring to a 1-1 draw against Torino. So I want to side with Roma here. You've also got to factor in Roma's home form this season. Just the two defeats. They have actually come. They've only won two of the last five now at home in the league. The two defeats against Napoli and Lazio and a draw against Atlanta. Prior to that, well, if you go back five games ago, they'd won every single home game in the league. So they do need to bounce back to a point. As you said, it's more likely that Roma will be looking down than up, if that makes sense, with Napoli snapping away at their heels. Incidentally, Napoli take on Torino this week. So, but I do think Juve will just have enough here. I do think Roma will have enough here. Don't change my mind mid-podcast. I do think Roma will have enough. The 6-4 isn't going to knock anybody's socks off. And it's one of those prices that, if it was the other way around, I'd be mad keen on Roma, if that makes sense. If they were 9-5 and Juve was 6-4. But as it happens, I'm quite happy to take Roma at 6-4. I just think they'll have enough about them to get the job done here. And if you want to back Roma and both teams to score as well, it's 100-30. Unlike Juve games, and I say unlike Juve games because generally they are fairly tight, fairly steady, the side that we've seen in recent weeks from Juve, or recent weeks, the last couple of weeks, haven't quite been as sure of themselves, if you like, as we have seen in recent weeks and years. And I think Roma and both teams, 130 is a good price, but outright selection is just going to be Roma at 6-4, just to put a little bit more pressure on Juve, just to keep them sweating for a week longer.
Okay, good stuff. Roma, the selection then in that game in Serie A. We go to the final game on this week's podcast then, which is Monaco versus Lille, the 8 o'clock kickoff in Ligue 1. Monaco in the betting at 1-5. The draw here is 11-2, and Lille are available at 12-1. Monaco obviously put out of the Champions League midweek by Juventus, but the league title in France is theirs for the taking. They're 3 points clear of PSG with a game in hand. I know you weren't mad keen about the 1-5 on Real Madrid this weekend, Alex. How do you feel about the 1-5 on offer for Monaco?
Absolutely cannot touch it. not a chance. Look, they've been fantastic. Let's not deny that. They have been absolutely superb. And a win here wouldn't mathematically give them the title, but it would to all intents and purposes. PSG incidentally travelled to Saint Etienne, so they've actually got arguably a more difficult game away from home. Lille are what they are. They are very much mid-table. They've got absolutely nothing to play for. So why on earth would you not want to back Monaco? Well, quite simply because they had a very, very tough game in midweek in Europe. And 1-5, you need to be utterly confident that. But put it this way, at the start of the season, Sam, if I ask you to price up this game, at the start of the season, first game of the season, you've got no form to go off. Monaco, you'd probably have as favourites, but they'd be, I would suggest, hovering around even money.
Yeah, well, I was going to say odds against. 11-10.
Well, and I know that's almost a silly point to make because you've got to factor in how good they've been this season. But what I'm saying is, I just don't want to take that 1-5. Lille are a decent outfit. They're not much more than that. And I'm not going to come out here and say the 12-1 on Lille is knocking value and get on. By the way, Monaco just need two more goals to score 100 for the season, which is absolutely frightening. But I just don't want to back them at 1-5. Now, you could back Monaco on both teams to score, which is 29-20, if you do think Monaco are going to get the job done. That's a much more palatable price, certainly, because I do think if Monaco win, I do think they'll ship a goal in this game. But basically, I just I just don't want to be with them at that price. So you're looking for value. By the way, any time goal scorers, there just isn't any value on the Monaco side of things. Falcao's 2s on. Mbappe is 3-4. Even players who are, you wouldn't consider as the, in inverted commas, bankers to score, are still a very, very short price. The likes of Lamar at even money and Fabinho at 23-20. You're looking at the Leo players as well. There's no one that jumps out the page, but they are fairly competitively priced at least. But my Knapp this week, and this is an absolutely staggering price as far as I'm concerned, Leo plus 2 goals is 13-8.
Wow.
I cannot see Monaco off the back of what they have been through in midweek. Not that it was a shock in midweek, I'm not making that point, but they just had a hard game against one of the best sides in Europe, and I just don't think they're going to go here and win 3-4-0 at all. I think Lille will give them a run for the money. Lille plus 2 goals, 13-8, is certainly my pick in this game, and it's my best bet across Europe this weekend, Sam.
Good stuff. Lille plus 2 then at 13-8 at Monaco versus Lille. That is Knapp selection this week for Alex Dunn. I'm going to Knapp in La Liga. Real Betis take on Atletico Madrid. I was really impressed with Atleti in midweek just more about their character than anything, Alex, to sort of come out the way that they did in seemingly what was a really, really uphill battle against Real. Get the 2 early goals. The Isco goal completely killed the game, but I saw enough from Atleti that I was really impressed with them and wanted to try and get them on side this weekend. They go away to Real Betis, who've got nothing really to play for. They're sort of marooned in mid-table. They're 15th in the league, and they look as though they've packed up for the summer already, Real Betis. They've shipped 4 goals in their last 2 league outings. They were beaten by Alaves 4-1, and then they lost 4-0 to Leganes. They look pretty much done for the season. And I'm going to go for Atleti to win this game 2-0 at 11-8. They didn't keep Real out midweek, but that was mainly due to an incredible bit of footwork from Karim Benzema. Betis don't have anybody of that quality who can undo this Atleti defence, which has been pretty resolute throughout the season. So 11-8 for Atletico to win the game 2-0 would be my Knapp selection of the weekend. I was just impressed with them midweek and thought I'd try and get them onside.
Well, there's obviously so much going on across Europe this weekend. Particularly, one that I like is in Holland. It's the final game of the season there. And Feyenoord just need a win. They messed up last week. They still just need a win. But of course, Ajax have been snapping away at their heels for weeks now. So that'll be a fascinating watch. I think they're at home to Heracles Feyenoord, and they should absolutely walk that game. But, you know, strange things have happened at the end of the season. And also, a good little stat for you here that I'll end the podcast on.
Yeah.
And this is from Colin Miller on Twitter, at @Miller_Colin. I'll give you due credit for this, because this is something that I saw earlier, and it's with reference to the Europa League final, which, of course, is Manchester United against Ajax. And if you listen to the Europa League punt, by the way, a few weeks back, you've heard me tip Ajax up at a massive price. I think a double-figure price.
All right,
I'll blow my own trumpet there for a second. Daley Blint will play against Justin Kluivert in the Europa League final, 22 years to the day since both their dads played in Ajax's last European final.
Is that right? Blimey.
That's a stat, that, isn't it?
22 years to the exact day?
I believe so.
That is incredible statage. Good work there.
Colin Miller on Twitter. Well done. He's got thousands of retweets, so, you know, he already knows he's done well. But
to have it verified on this podcast, though, I mean, that has to be the pinnacle.
Exactly. But it's a cracking stat, isn't it?
It is. An excellent stat. If you want to play the Knapp double this week, by the way, Lille plus 2 goals at 13-8 and Atletico Madrid to win 2-0 at 11-8. It's just over 5-1 if you fancy getting involved with that. Thank you very much for that, Alex. We'll speak again next week, hopefully. And best of luck, everyone, with your European bets this weekend.
Thank you, Sam.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.